of the Avanti Brahman.
Gyayato chahru kinchit. Kinchit dasya buddhava.
Kinchit dasya buddhava.
Daivada kalada kinchit. Brahma bandho nripaarthiva. Gyayato jagruhu kinchit. Kinchit dasya buddhava. Daivada kaladu kinchit. Brahma bandho nripaarthivat. Gyayato jagruhu kinchit. Kinchit dasya buddhava. Daivada kalada kinchit. Brahma bandho nripaarthivat.
Gyayata, the relatives, jagru, took away, kinchit, some, kinchit, some, dasyava, thieves, uddhava, o uddhava, daivataha, by providence, kalataha, by time, kinchit, some, brahma bandho, of the so-called brahmana, nr, by common men, parthivat, and by elevated government officials. This is a translation. Some of the wealth of this so-called brahmana was taken away by his relatives, my dear Uddhava. Some by thieves, some by the whims of providence, some by the effect of time, some by ordinary men, and some by government authorities. So here is a purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. It appears that even though the so-called brahmana was determined not to spend his money, his wife and other relatives managed to squeeze out a portion. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, providence here refers to fires in the home and other types of occasional misfortune. Effects of time here refers to the destruction of agricultural crops through seasonal irregularities and other such occurrences. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that one should not merely proclaim oneself to be a Brahman, but should actually understand one's original identity as a servant of the Lord. One declaring himself to be a Brahman but maintaining a materialistic mentality is not a real Brahmana, but rather a Brahma Bandhu or so-called Brahmana. The humble devotee of Lord Vishnu, following the indications of the Vedic scriptures, refers to themselves as unfortunate and unable to understand the kingdom of God. They do not proudly proclaim themselves to be Brahmanas. Those who are wise, however, know that such humble devotees are actually Brahmanas, whose hearts are cleansed by the pure mode of goodness.
Om Jnanati Vrandasya Jnananjana Salakhaya Chakshurin Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So in this verse, it's a very interesting example of a so-called Brahmana is given. So he's not really a Brahmana, however he's so-called Brahmana. So it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada often mentions that one of the reasons for the degradation of the Vedic culture is because of the so-called Brahmanas. And it actually originated at the beginning of the age of Kali. So if you wonder why this age of Kali is progressing or what is its root cause, it actually started from the so-called Brahmanas or Brahma Bandhus. So this we can even see from the course of recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Maharaj Parikshit was cursed by the Brahmana boy whose name is Sringi. So Sringi had power of a Brahmana because he was born in the Brahmin family and he was also got training as a Brahmana. However, he misused his power in cursing Maharaj Parikshit. So that is the beginning of the fall down of the Brahmana class. So even though they have all the power, they are not meant to abuse those powers. So in this regard, Sringi's father, when he came to know that Maharaj Parikshit, who being a great devotee and a great king, still he was cursed to death by Sringi boy, he was actually very angry and he was very upset. He said, even though king, he is actually shelter for the whole community, both materially and spiritually. So killing such a person in the form of the curse, it is a great sin. So we can see here the boy, Sringi, has misused his power. Then it progressed through the time, that is, the Brahmana class became more and more degraded. And it just became those who are born in Brahmin family, or those whose father or mother, they are from the Brahmin, the caste Brahmins, then they are the actual Brahmins. And the sign is, they have, what is the sign of being a Brahmana? Immediately they will pull out the thread. Yes, I am a Brahmana, because see the thread. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, it is mentioned about the sign of progress of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the Brahman is not known by his qualities, rather he is known by his thread. So in this regard, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj, he was giving an example. He was in Delhi one time and he was catching a rickshaw. And so in the beginning they agreed upon, okay, this much fare I will pay and okay, you take me to one place to the other place. He was coming from Vrindavan, I suppose. Then he took to the next place and after he got down, immediately he asked for more money. In India, you know how it works. So they agreed upon some amount of money. Still, the rickshaw driver, he asked for more money. And he started arguing. And at the end, he was telling, so Maharaj said, no, I won't give any more. We have agreed upon this. I am not going to give anything more. Immediately he said, actually, I am a Brahman. I will curse you. He pulled out the thread out and said, I will curse you. And Maharaj was mentioning, he actually pulled out a dirty thread from the dirty t-shirt, you know. So this is the standard of Brahmanas now. So this is the main cause of degradation, because Brahmanas are supposed to be the head of the society, of the Vedic society. And so, Srila Prabhupada's mission is to generate Brahmanas through our ISKCON society. So the Brahman initiation is only beginning of creation of Brahmanas. It's not the end. Now we think if we get a thread and if we get Brahman initiation, okay, naturally we have become Brahmanas. No, not really. It's again the initiation. Initiation means it's only beginning. It's like we get the Harinam initiation, the first initiation. That is actually entering us into or enrolling into the process of chanting of Hare Krishna. In the same way, the Brahmanical initiation, it's only the beginning. And further, one has to develop qualities of a Brahmana. So that is the hard part. Punctuality, cleanliness, understanding the Shastra, giving the Shastra, accepting charity, giving charity. So we have to develop these qualities. Then we can actually come to the real Brahmanical platform. So being a Brahmana means it is a cultivation. It's a cultivation. It's not just by default. Even the whole process of bhakti itself is cultivation. That's the reason Srila Rupa Goswami says it is Krishna Anushilanam. Anushilanam means cultivation. So the Brahmanical qualifications also have to be cultivated. Otherwise we become the so-called Brahmana as is shown in this verse. So does one have to actually wait till the Brahmanical initiation to develop these qualities? Not really. Everyone in the society, because since Prabhu's aim is to bring Brahmanas, to create Brahmanas in this world, from any background, so everyone, it is a responsibility of all devotees to start developing these Brahmanical qualities. Because Brahmanical qualities means the qualities in the mode of goodness. Because without those qualities, one cannot actually perform sadhana bhakti. It is very difficult if one doesn't develop the mode of goodness, one cannot perform sadhana bhakti. It is very difficult. We understand from Bhagavad Gita, the pure devotional service is starting in which stage, in which mode, at which condition the pure devotional service is starting? In transcendental state, that is in Brahma Bhuta. So Bhagavad Gita says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shavachati Na Jakamshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param. So the pure devotion service is starting at the point of beyond the modes of material nature. Then when we take it to the sadhana bhakti, when we can actually start sadhana bhakti, okay, one can do some bhakti no matter which mode is present. Maybe in the mode of ignorance, doesn't matter. If somebody is intoxicated, if somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, we are going on Haridams, people are chanting Hare Krishna, somebody is joining in, that's fine. So they can do devotional service, bits and pieces, no matter which mode of material nature they are in. But if somebody has to be fixed in the sadhana bhakti, then one has to come to mode of goodness. Predominantly, it has to be the mode of goodness. The passion and ignorance has to go down. So that's the reason Srila Prabhupada, even in the final instruction, if you see the final pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, it's a video you can see. Other day we were talking about that. Prabhupada was emphasizing, Prabhupada was lying on the bed, he was, you know, leaving his body, that is his pastime, is a leela. And that point he was giving a purport to one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it was 10th canto, one of the verses from 10th canto. So Prabhupada was mentioning, okay, you have to come to the mode of goodness to be fixed in devotional service. And Prabhupada also gave the method by which one can come to the mode of goodness. Prabhupada said, by attending Mangalarati, by morning program. That's how one can naturally come to the mode of goodness. So if you see, when we attend Mangalarati, when we attend morning program, if we take it as a regulation, we don't consider it is, you know, okay, we have to come to the mode of goodness, but we just do it initially. But when we go through that, we can see how the mode of goodness is naturally developing. So that is what, as a devotee, is what we have to do to come to the mode of goodness and to be established in the sadhana bhakti and to develop Brahmanical qualification. So it is mentioned that if somebody wants to actually get Brahmanical initiation, if one cannot get up early in the morning and chant Hare Krishna, then don't think about Brahmanical initiation. Brahmana means one has to get up early in the morning before Brahma Murta and chant Hare Krishna. So that is the whole point. Because if you consider the deity worship, it starts early morning. Before Mangalarati we start deity worship. You know, we offer the Lord sweets, milk sweets at 4:10. And we wake up the Lord at 3:55. That is the waking up time. How is it? 3:55. It means we have to get up earlier than that. Isn't it? At least. Even if we rush to the shower, at least we had to get up earlier. Otherwise we can't wake up the Lord. If we are in ignorance, how can we wake up the Lord? Anyway, the Lord is not in ignorance. He is actually performing his pastime while lying on his bed. There is a small bed for Radha and Krishna. While lying on that bed, they are performing his pastime. So even when we put Lord to rest, the mantras we chant, we say, okay, you actually perform your pastime by lying down. So it is very important to come to the mode of goodness through the morning program, Mangalarati, etc. Now, what is the position of devotees in comparison with that of Brahmanas? Well, Brahmanas, if they don't follow the principle, just like the Avanti Brahmana here, they are called not Brahmanas, but Brahma Bandhu. Brahma Bandhu. Brahma Bandhu means the front of a Brahmana, that's all. It doesn't mean anything more. It is just like, you can say, I am a son of a judge. It doesn't qualify him to be a judge and to make judgments. It's a relative. It's a good position to learn something about the laws, it is good position to learn something about his career. However, it doesn't qualify just being a friend or just being a son of a judge. In the same way, just being son of a Brahmana doesn't qualify. I can remember I went to India, you know, not this time, I think 3 or 4 years back when I went last time. I went to our family temple, and you know, there, you know, the rules are quite strict in South India. Rituals and rules are quite strict, so we can't wear a shirt. You know, we can, the maximum we can either bare chest or, you know, we can put a shawl on. That's only allowed even to come to the altar, to just the premises of the temple. So I went inside. So two Matajis, you know, elderly ladies, they approached me and they asked, whose son are you? So then, you know, we are not seeing the thread around you, you know, there is no thread. So how can you actually come? This is only for such and such people, you know, you shouldn't actually come here. Then I said, okay, I'm, you know, I'm so and so. So they said, why you don't wear this, you know, this? I said, you know, I'm not yet qualified to wear. So she said, no, actually, if you're born in this particular caste, and if you are of certain age, then you are qualified. Then you can wear the thread and you can become Brahmana. Otherwise, no. I said, no. Bhagavad Gita doesn't say like that. It says, guna karma vipagasha. It is according to your quality. It's guna and karma and your activities. That qualify one to be a Brahmana. So I am first initiated. So I chant Hare Krishna. That's enough. You know, I'm not a Brahmana. So, you know, so this is how, you know, so strict. People are, you know, caught up in all these kind of things. You know, I'm a Brahmana. I'm not a Brahmana. So, initially, devotees never used to wear Brahmin thread. The Vaishnavas, even the advanced Vaishnava, they didn't have the thread. Those who born in Brahmin families and they became Vaishnavas, they used to have thread. But otherwise, in general, Vaishnavas didn't used to wear Brahmin thread. So it was going on. Actually, even during Acharya's time, many, many years it was going on. And then, when it came to the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he actually introduced Brahminical initiation for Vaishnava devotees. Why? It's a very interesting point. Because the so-called Brahmanas, they were not necessarily they were devotees, because Brahmana doesn't mean he is naturally a devotee. If somebody is expert in ritualistic ceremonies, or somebody who is worshipping demigods, even they are considered Brahmanas. So they used to not respect devotees just because they didn't have thread. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, that cannot be the case, because a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. Because being a Vaishnava means it's not just being on the mode of goodness, but it's beyond the mode of goodness. He has already understood what is the conclusion. So for all the devotees who are qualified, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to give Brahminical initiation, he used to give thread, so that the rest of the society would respect the devotees. It was so important. So this is a very important contribution to our sampradaya by Bhakti Siddhanta. It is a big step in that time. Because that time when Bhakti Siddhanta gave Brahminical initiation to people from all different backgrounds, he was criticized, especially by the caste Goswamis. They criticized. And one time, Bhakti Siddhanta, when he took all his disciples on a parikram to Vrindavan, many Goswamis who owned the temple or who were the caretakers of the temple, they didn't allow. They even closed the temple. You know, some people planned to, you know, attack like that. So it was a very inimical, they were inimical towards Bhakti Siddhanta for being open to give Krishna consciousness. At the same time, Krishna consciousness is, no qualification is required to start Krishna consciousness. So Bhakti Siddhanta understood that and he gave this to everyone. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he said, yes, my one of the main aim is to create Brahmanas. Because if Brahmanas are present, if Brahmanas are generated in the social system, they can create Kshatriyas, they can create Vaishyas, they can create Shudras. Because with the head, other things can be created. Because they have the knowledge. And if there is no head, then there is no possibility of creating other varnas. And there is no possibility of creating ashrams also, in a proper way. So that is the reason Prabhu's one intention was, okay, create Brahmanas. Because from the everything else in Varnashram can be created. Then here it is mentioned, even the devotees, they sometimes call themselves as Brahma Bandhu. They don't claim, yes, I am a qualified Brahmana, here is my thread. Or, you know, I am a Vaishnava, so I am superior, you are just a Brahman, you know, you have just thread. We don't proclaim like that. So here it is mentioned, it is because of humility. It is simply because of humility. So we can see very wonderful example of such a Brahman who manifested exactly the opposite character of this. That is, this Avanti Brahman, he is actually a Brahma Bandhu. But a Brahman who actually showed his humility, and he called himself as Brahma Bandhu. That was Sudama. So Sudama, after leaving Krishna, that is, Sudama went, you know, everyone knows the pastime of Sudama. He was Krishna's friend. Then he had a poverty-stricken life, the whole life went. Then his wife requested, okay, you go and meet with Krishna because he is a king. He's a prince, he can give you anything you want, so you go. So Sudama agreed, okay, even though he didn't want to go for a material reason, still, he said, I will go, because he thought, okay, it is a very good opportunity for me to meet with Krishna, because I haven't seen him for such a long time. And he was such a great devotee of the Lord. So he went and approached Krishna. Krishna gave him such a wonderful treatment for him. And after everything, he returned. He didn't ask for anything. He just gave the, you know, the rice, whatever was left over, and that's it. He came back. So while coming back, Sudama started thinking. He think the Lord, he is actually the master of Goddess of Fortune. The Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi Devi, is residing on the chest of the Lord. Still, he actually embraced me. So it was completely bewildering. And it was heart-touching for Sudama. So Sudama said, Brahma Bandhuriti Swaham Bahubhyam Pari Rampita. So even though I am a Brahma Bandhu, I am just a sinful friend of a Brahman, still the Supreme Lord Krishna, he actually embraced me. So he started thinking about that. How much Krishna has given to me, even though I am a sinful friend of a Brahmana. Here we can see Sudama, he is actually a qualified Brahman. He had all the Brahminical qualifications, and on top of that he was a Vaishnava, not just an ordinary Vaishnava, he is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. And he had personal audience of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord received him with so much of respect. Even after all these things, while coming out, what is Sudama thinking? Out of humility, he is thinking, you know, I am just a Brahma Bandhu. I am not even a Brahmana, I am just a sinful friend of a Brahmana. That's what Sudama Vipra is saying. So this is the natural humility of a devotee. So it is mentioned, those who are wise, however, know that such humble devotees are actually Brahmanas whose hearts are cleansed by the pure mode of goodness. So for such devotees, their heart is completely cleansed and they are already Brahmanas. Still, they don't claim to be Brahmanas. So out of humility, naturally they say, no, we are not Brahmanas. So in conclusion, we have to try to develop Brahminical qualities, because that is a helping position to perform devotional service. And the example here given of Avanti Brahmana, it's actually we shouldn't follow this. And it's a good interesting point that even though he had so much of wealth, finally he was left with nothing. Everything was taken away. So it is mentioned, the karma can give. We think, okay, we want to be the most learned. I want to be the most intelligent. We think, you know, I want to be the richest. People plan like this. But according to karma, many things are already decided. That is, according to our past actions, many things are already predetermined. One such thing is, who are our parents? Predetermined. We don't have any choice. Our beauty? Predetermined. How much our plastic surgery we do, still beauty is limited. We can't go beyond what is in our quota. The wealth, it is predetermined. We can't do much. Intelligence, it is predetermined. Even the number of breaths is predetermined according to our karma for this body. So much of conditions are there. And here, due to the same reason, even though Avanti Brahman, he had so much of wealth, he lost everything. So the karma has given him all the wealth, but misuse, that is in our hand. That is misuse of our free will. So misuse of wealth by Avanti Brahman, by, you know, keeping by to himself, that's actually misuse of his free will. And we can see, due to several reasons, family they took some, time took some, that is, the seasons changes, it was raining, and then many of the corpse and the wealth and many things, and thieves, they stole some of his wealth. And finally the government officials, they also took something. So finally he was left with nothing. So the story will actually proceed, you know, what will happen to Avanti Brahman after this. It's very instructive. And ultimately he gets renunciation in his heart. After losing everything, he actually develops renunciation. And he becomes a great devotee of the Lord. And he becomes completely attached and dependent on the Supreme Lord. So that is a progression of the story of Avanti Brahman. So that we can see later. So is there any comments or questions?
It is written in some by ordinary men.
Yeah. Some by ordinary men. So ordinary men also interested in wealth. Wealth is good for everyone. So they also took some opportunity to take some wealth from Avanti Brahmans. Yeah.
Can you just elaborate more on what it means to be fixed in the devotional service?
Okay. Yeah, so being fixed, it has different levels of being fixed. So on a basic level, fixed means one's devotion service is not affected by our bodily demands, our mind especially. Generally our mind creates a lot of obstacle in our devotion service. Starting from getting up in the morning, you know, while chanting, you know, extreme struggle. Then, you know, attending the rest of the program, we have, you know, so much of, you know, mind will say, no, maybe today I will skip the class, you know, today I will go and do something, anyway I have such a busy day. So many things, and during the day, during our devotional service, mind goes here and there, we can't actually focus and even do our devotional service. We don't even turn up on time, you know, we have the whole day and we will start late and, you know, we do all this kind of thing due to our mind. So, that is our mind. And can we, you know, there is of course genuine bodily discomforts, you know, which we can't do much about it. We will have to adjust to that. However, otherwise, mind creates a lot of trouble. So, being fixed means one has to have a good control of the mind. Reasonable control of the mind so that it doesn't, in our devotion service, doesn't get affected by our mind. Such an important thing. Say for instance, in any service it applies, any service, we have to have a, you know, regulated mind to properly do the service. And doing the same thing again and again, same, you know, every day, even though it is the same regulated activity every day. If you see our pretty much the routine for a week, it's actually being repeated every week. There is not much of drastic change. So being fixed in that routine means, you know, one has to be actually, you know, mind has to be controlled to some degree. The mode of goodness has to be there, otherwise it is very difficult to be regulated. Then ultimate fix means, you know, there is no, that is nishtha, that is full, that is nishtha means, you know, the anarthas are completely or predominantly gone away from the heart. So that stage is quite high, you know, we are not expecting that at this point. In that stage, one is completely fixed in devotional service no matter what happens. No, neither with the body or the mind, one's consciousness is fixed in devotional service. Which is a very high platform of nishtha, high platform of steadiness, which one has to develop ultimately. But if we don't have a steadiness in our sadhana bhakti we can classify, basically, you know, at least consider the Panjanga bhakti, the five items of devotional service, Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, to read every day systematically, one has to be regulated. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to be regulated. One, Bhagavata Seva. Second, if we consider association with the devotees, having a good relation with the devotees means we are spending some time with the devotees. We need to be regulated. If we, of course, we reside in the temple. That is this. And which are the other two items? Chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a steady mind needs a lot of control of the mind. Then this is the fourth one. Fifth one. One more I left. We covered those. The deity worship. And to perform deity worship. And to worship the deities. And has to be regulated, because we cannot say, Krishna, today I am late, so I will wake you up, 10 minutes late, because I got, half an hour late. We can't say that. So, because there are reactions. Even the deity worship, if we are actually off the time, there is a reaction for that. So, one has to be regulated, otherwise it's very difficult. Yes, Prabhu?
You said that our number of breaths is predetermined. I remember I was in Malaysia once, and there were these posters put up by some Buddhists saying that you shouldn't jog because you shorten your life by breathing more.
You shouldn't?
You shouldn't do exercise and jog.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of a ridiculous statement. What would be the Krishna consciousness answer to that? Because, they're kind of being the fanatical with that statement.
The point, there is some point, we don't say you shouldn't exercise, because one has to, if you are in a hurry, one run anyway. Whether you want it or not, one is in a hurry, one will run. Naturally one will do the actions in which one has to breathe more. Naturally one will do. Then, the number of breath is fixed, that's a fact. So that is a point of yogis. The mystic yogis, how they actually elongate their lifespan. So one process is this, they have the breath control. By the frequent practice they know how to do it. So they actually elongate, they have a longer lifespan. One time, Indradhamna Swami Maharaj was telling one pastime happened, during Kumbh Mela time when Srila Prabhupada was there. So many kind of apparently looking, young boys were coming out from the water. They were looking young boys. So, Prabhupada asked, do you know how old are they? So people said, maybe young boys, 18, 19, 20, whatever, maximum. So Prabhupada said, no, they are 200, 300 years old. So they are yogis. Prabhupada said, they are yogis. They are performing this kind of breath control and different austerities, and they are actually not aging. They can keep the body for such a long period of time. So it is possible. Even though that's not the aim of our Krishna consciousness, it is possible. But, don't do exercise, then you will die out of some other reason. If you don't exercise, okay, you are on one side, you are trying to increase your lifespan by, reducing the breath, that is one time, but you have some other disease, and that will attack you in some other way, end up and die anyway. One will have to breathe in some other way. So, it will happen. Yeah.
Loma Rishi.
That's right. Yeah, he had so much of
Brahmas,
yeah, something like that. Heavy.
Krishna tells about the same thing. He says, when you are doing some kind of exercise, so at that particular time period, you are using your movements. Because of your that particular exercise during the half an hour, if you are using your movements, during the day, your body will take less breaths.
Okay, that is good.
So in one way you are saying it's better to do the exercise. The second thing he said, the time is also fixed. It's okay, the breath is fixed, but it depends on the time also. That this particular time period. So according to while doing those calculations of time and place and not only the breaths, so he was saying all things matters.
That's a good point. I remember one story in which, I can't exactly remember, it's like Yamaraj is coming. One person came to know that, I forgot. It's a very interesting story. There's one place, this person was thinking, okay, Yamaraj is approaching me, so, I shouldn't be here. I should go to a far, far away place. So he goes to far, far away place. No, no, no. He was trying to protect one. You remember that?
Garudji, once Yongan is going to see Vishnu and Garudji was sitting. And when he enters the hall, he sees one bird was sitting.
Exactly. That is the thing. So that the bird was sitting and then Garuda started thinking, the bird is going to approach death now. So Garuda thought, okay, I will protect that bird. So Garuda, immediately he picked that bird and put him far away. Far, far away place. And Garuda immediately came back and Yamaraj approached. So Yamaraj was thinking, the point was, Garuda was thinking, okay, he actually saved the small bird. So Yamaraj was telling the other way. He was telling, actually I was thinking, this bird is supposed to die in a far away place now, and how come this bird is now here? So Garuda actually took the bird and kept it there, and it was the place for him to die. So it's a good point. So no one can control. It's very difficult. Yes, bro.
On the subject of breath, our lifestyle is such that it is a waste of breath if we're not dovetailing something in Krishna consciousness. If that breath is not, hasn't got Krishna behind it.
Yeah.
But Prabhupada has given us a lifestyle in which we can every breath does tell everything that's faithful to execution.
Exactly.
Consciously, even if we're doing exercise.
Yes.
If it's so that we can have a sensual body before the same time, that's actually faithful and take us back home. But if we have some sort of some sort of selfish motivation behind that, it's a waste of breath.
That's right. It's a very important point. Our aim is to use breath in service of Krishna. Each breath means each time, you know, whatever time we have, use it in service of Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.